fathers are coming tonight, and I have seen this at churches before, and when I came in tonight, I said, hey, everybody, clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. And I would get about that response. We're not a Pentecostal church, and we go, we don't do that. Well, what if I came in tonight and said, hey, say a loud amen and praise God tonight for what He is doing in our lives? And I get pretty close to the same response. I ain't doing that. I ain't going to be the only one, Pastor. You clapped, and boy, I'm just embarrassed for you. Whatever the case may be, we think that is, would be odd or unseemly. But so much of the time, I believe we don't worship God the way we ought to. Turn with me in Psalms chapter number 47. Psalms chapter number 47. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. As we start the verse out, and you see where I'm coming from, and so many times we relate that to the other denominations. That, oh, no, that isn't how we do it. But yet, the song for the sons of Korah from the chief musician, and he tells the people to clap their hands, to give God a round of applause. We're not used to doing that, but yet somebody gets up and sings a special, somebody gets up and gives a speech, somebody gets up and does something, and we clap. Or they just get up in front of us and we clap, hoping that they'll do something that we'll be worthy of clapping for later. But do we, in our praise for God, clap our hands for Him? Or are we so stoic in our joy over who God is, over what He said, over what He's done, that we just sit there like frogs in a log, hoping that, well, the Lord looketh on the heart, and He knows that inside of me, sir. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Two different times in 2 Peter, Peter tells them, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Paul and Peter both understood that the church needed to be stirred up, not just every once in a while, but repeatedly. And I don't believe that either one of them believed in just being excited, just to be excited. Or faking it till you make it, or any of those things. But that they were truly excited in remembering what God had done. And remembering, since God did that, what He can do in the future and what He's going to do. And boy, they were excited. Samuel 22, verse number 4 says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual rulers. How are we saved from that? And if we call upon Him, is He not worthy of our praise? Is He not worthy of our clapping our hands together, as the psalmist says, and shouting out unto God with the voice of triumph? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the shout out to God for His triumph. Oh, man, we ought to be excited when we get up in the morning that today is a new day. When we go to bed at night, we ought to be relaxed and everything. We ought to be excited that, hey, we lived another day. We didn't wind up in the obituary yet. Darlene and I were talking about it a couple weeks ago. This comment had come up. This lady was looking through the obituaries. Oh, my name's not in there again. If you're reading the newspaper and your name's not in the obituary, that doesn't mean anything. Because your obituary is generally not put in there until after you're dead. So if you are picking up a newspaper to begin with, you're probably safe. But the victory that is through our Lord Jesus Christ, not only to death, not only from the grave, oh, that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's just a shadow of death. It's not the death that the heathen, that the sinners, that the unrepentant are subject to, but just a shadow of death. And we were walking through that, it to clasp our Savior's hand. But the sting of death is sin, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. The victory that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we shout out with triumph, I won today. When we go to bed at night, maybe we can't. But we ought to, when we lay our head down tonight, be able to shout out in triumph, I won today through the power of Jesus Christ, a sin attacked. I was tempted, but through prayer, through Bible reading, through my trust in the Lord, I was victorious in that. And I can lay my head down on my pillow tonight in the peace and comfort of and security of Jesus, knowing that my slate between He and I is clean. The voice of triumph. 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do we have a voice of triumph in our praise to God? Or is our voice less than? The Bible talks that the trumpet gives an uncertain sound. How shall the people know? And it's understood that when the cavalry is ready to charge, the bugler is given a sound and by the captain, by the leader, and he says, blow this, and the troops know when that sound is blown what they need to do next. Swing right, swing left, go straight ahead, charge the hill, whatever the case may be. But is our voice of triumph? If people are standing around us, when God does something in our life, isn't an uncertain sound? When the pastor gets together and says, okay, let's clap our hands for Jesus, is it an uncertain sound? Feel like you're in that crowd of people and you're starting that slow clap and nobody else joins in. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The voice of triumph. But we don't have that, and so many times we struggle with that because we don't feel like conquerors. We don't feel triumphant. We don't see triumphant. We see another day dawn. Maybe tomorrow will be better. And when we go into the day looking, when we go out of our day with a expecting the next day to be better. When we end a day defeated and without the victory of God, we lay our head down on our pillows in defeat and, well, tomorrow's another day. Psalms chapter 47, no?
Okay. Thank you.
As we lay our heads down, are we triumphant through the day, and if not, why not? If we lay our heads down and we're not triumphant, we're not victorious, we're not more than conquerors, maybe we've laid down too soon. Maybe we ought to take up the old habit of the little kids kneeling beside the foot of our bed and praying before we put our head on our pillow and giving some stuff up to God. We ought to have victorious days. We ought to have days where we shout and clap because God is doing something marvelous. Verses 2 through 4 are reasons for the praising God as far as the Israelites go, but can you not see our same phrase in here for us as Christians? The Lord Most High is terrible. He's awesome. And John knew that when he saw and he threw himself on the ground and the angel had to say, come look and see. And Isaiah, the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. My God reigns. My God reigns. As Job says, He reigns. And one of these days He's going to stand on the earth. Verse number 3, He's a subduer of the wicked. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Verse 4, He shall choose our inheritance for us. Oh man, has He not already chosen? From the foundation of the world, He's chosen our inheritance. We, because of Him, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, He's the reward. That He chose our inheritance. And not just our inheritance, but it says the excellency of Jacob, which He loved. There's excellency in His inheritance. He didn't just choose an inheritance. Go, you know, and walking through dollar store, going, you know, I don't want to get him a bill like this, and it only cost me $1. He's walking through heaven, and he's working on each place for us. He's thinking about us specifically, personally, and He's creating and molding our place in heaven, designed specifically for us. In excellency. Man, the only one that does stuff halfway, partially, without commitment. God is completely committed to us. We knew that when He hung on the cross, dying for our sins, shedding not just some of His blood, but all of His blood for us. Not taking just some of our sins, but all of our sins, past, present, and future, on the cross for us. He didn't do things halfway. He said, no, it is finished. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is the rewarder. Oh man, here's the reason for the praise, the clap of the hands, the shout and triumph, because of these things that He is. The awesome God, the great King, the subduer of the wicked, and the rewarder. Verse number 5, then we see God has gone up with a shout. Jesus didn't sneak off in the dark of night. He didn't slink away when things got rough. He didn't do anything. In fact, when the soldiers came in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came up and he said, who do you seek? You look down the street, you know that the police are having the issue that the guard, the palace guards, the temple guards didn't have on that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus walked around and said, who do you seek? And they said, where do you seek Jesus? And He said, I am He. And His voice was so forceful, and the words that came out of His mouth were so forceful that they fell backwards. Oh, the shout of victory. I'm fixing to go. God has said this is how we'll pay for the sins of the entire world, and you're going to take me to my payment. Because I'm going to reward those that have faith, that believe in me, that diligently seek me. I am He. Take me. Let's get this done. Knowing that they were going to pluck His beard and jam that cruel crown upon His head and do all of that. But when Jesus went up, He went up, it says in Acts 1:9, and when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him up out of their sight. As He went up, when He went up visible, as God comes back, He's going to be with a shout, with an archangel, with a trump. That's just for the church, I agree. But all that voice of triumph when He calls us home. I win. You're mine. I'm calling you out. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Verse number 6, He says, sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. The quadruple given command. Sing praises. Is it kind of obvious that the chief musician here wants people to understand that God has done something amazing, and God is doing something amazing, and God will continue, and here is our responsibility to praise Him. Verse number 7, it says, for God is the King of all the earth. If we had no other reason, if we had nothing else, would that not be reason enough to sing praises? For God is the King of all the earth. Then He finishes verse 7, sing ye praises with understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Do we praise God with understanding? Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, as husbands, we're to dwell well with our wives with knowledge. We're to know our wife and dwell with her. But we're to praise God with understanding. Do we understand what God is doing? Well, no, most times I don't. The most misquoted verse, in my opinion, because it's not a verse, but everybody quotes it like it is, the Lord works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. And that's not a verse. God doesn't work in mysterious ways. Just because we don't necessarily understand what He's doing right now doesn't mean it's mysterious. He does. It's not a magic trick to Him. But do we understand God? Jesus says, I come not to condemn. Jesus says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Do we sing praises with understanding that Jesus came to redeem? Do we sing praises to God understanding that He is a just and righteous God?
Yeah.
On Sunday, I preached about how every good thing, every good gift, every perfect gift. So we're